Yeah, maybe you don't understand. Batman killing people isn't something new here. It's not even something that goes against the comics. It's just, a retcon that people have gotten accustomed to and has been canon for a really long time. And I'm gonna elaborate on this more so on this episode, including, what Zack Snyder said and what Zack Snyder's ethos is on Batman isn't as wrong as some soft folks would have you believe. All that will be explained on this here episode of Moonlight Kingdom Podcast as we dive into the world of Batman. Should he or shouldn't he kill? And yeah, that's all it. Right here, right now on Moonlight Kingdom Podcast in 3, 2, 1. For some background, because there's always some background involved in nonsense like this. This all started because of this Joe Rogan episode, this episode of the Joe Rogan podcast that Zack Snyder was on. He was on the podcast and they talked for like 2 hours. They talked about bodybuilding, 300, Batman, Zack Snyder's experience filming, what's that movie? Army, no, not Army of the Dead. That zombie movie he filmed in the beginning. I can't remember. There's so many zombie movies with Of the Dead in the name. I don't remember he much, but he filmed. But if it was a zombie movie, and his time, like what kind of starting out as a director of music videos and stuff, what kind of comics he enjoyed, how he liked heavy metal, and how Rebel Moon is like his heavy metal in a way. Like people will say it's like Star Wars for adults, but like no, it's more like along the lines of a PG-13 Zack Snyder take of heavy metal with like the R-rated version coming soon. So that's a interview on the Joe Rogan Experience happened 2 weeks ago, and it caused up quite a stir because he brought up how, like, his Batman, like his version of Batman, kills people, like, and how in Frank Miller's like Dark Knight Returns, like Batman apparently shoots a guy straight in the head because he has a kid, he's holding a kid hostage, and the guy's like, I'll if you come anywhere near me, like I'll take this kid out, I swear I'll do it, and in Batman's like, I believe you, and he shoots the guy right in the head, according to Zack Snyder. Looking in the comic book, it's like, there's the initial brouhaha of, that's not how it went down. That's not what happened in the comic. He didn't shoot the guy in the head. He shot the guy near his freaking head. He shot the guy near his head, and that, like, spooked him enough to be like, wait a minute, like, Batman is, like, willing to take a shot at me. Like, I have a gun to this kid's head, and Batman not only is pulling a gun on me, but he's willing to take a pot shot at my freaking head. That's scary enough. So, that's kind of what went down. But the way I don't know if it's been a while since he's read the comic, like, oh, he's misremembered or whatever. I'm not mad at that. Like, okay, whatever. It does seem like he shot him in the head. You'd have to actually, like, look real close to see, like, oh, he didn't really go that far? Okay, whatever. But the fact that he could have, and you could see it that way, shows kind of how far, like, this Batman is, like, far gone in the kind of world that he lives in. Because in The Dark Knight Returns, he's not the Batman we know. He's not the guy who'll just, like, beat up the bad guy, like, rough him up, give him, like, just bust him up to the point, like, he's got a little bit of blood on his lip or, like, a bruised eye or some shit. Like, no, this is a Batman who will, like, break bones and crack skulls. Like, he'll, like, I don't know, he's brutal. He's way more brutal because he's way more hardened and, like, world-weary because the world he's inhabiting, no longer... I don't know. I can't explain it. It no longer permits him to be that soft. He can't afford to be that soft on crime anymore. And Zack Snyder kind of took that to like his Batman in BVS with Batfleck. And he also kind of got that the way of like how Batman would behave in this harsher world from Rorschach and Watchmen. Because there's a scene in Watchmen, the movie, where Rorschach explains how he was on the search for this missing kid and he tracked down where the guy who took her was. And he found that the guy had butchered her and fed her to his dogs. And, like, that was... Because before that, Rorschach was soft on criminals, as he put it, because he would just beat them up and leave them for the cops. That was the day he decided, like, okay, like, he said this quote of a line of, men get arrested, animals get put down. Because, fate didn't butcher this woman and feed her those dogs. This man did. Like, this man... Like, sending him to some jail isn't going to undo any of that. It's not going to help. In the eyes of Rorschach, the only way to take down this dude and make sure that he doesn't do this to anyone ever again would be, you know, offing him then and there with a cleaver. So that is the view of, like, that's the way I see it. That's not what Snyder said. That's the way I see it. Like, that's how, like, he went from Watchmen to directing Batman, and he has, like, that Watchmen lens onto the DC universe. And it's like, what if I took these, like, mythic heroes and I put them in a, not just our world, because that's what Marvel's doing. Like, Marvel would take comic book heroes and they put them in the present day, like, our world, the world we live in now, and see how they would be adapted, how they would adapt, and that formula looks pretty good. What Zack Snyder seemed to be doing was taking, like, DCE heroes and putting them in a dark and gritty world. He didn't necessarily make the heroes themselves dark and gritty, but the world they were in wasn't the, like, I don't know, world, the bright and cheery world brimming with possibilities that the DC comics normally has. You know, like, it's not, like, Metropolis is sunshine and rainbows for the most part, you know, cornfields and farming and whatnot, but except for when, like, you know, alien invasion comes down, or, you know, like, there's a rampaging Luther monstrosity on the loose, then it's different, you know, like, it has a different vibe to it. It's now suddenly, it's no longer this bustling Metropolis, you know, pun intended, it's a battleground now, like, this, because also that's another thing, like, the casualties of everything. Like, we're straying away from Batman now, like, because when you look at Gotham compared to, like, okay, moving away from the casual thing, look at Gotham compared to Batman. Gotham has this very grimy look to it. It's like comparing Manhattan and, I don't know, southern parts of Chicago, or what's a good place? I don't know. It's like comparing Manhattan to Brooklyn. You know, like, Manhattan's got, like, these tall skyscrapers, fancy restaurants, and high-rise apartments. And, like, Brooklyn, it's like brownstones, or the Bronx would be able to, like, it's got, like, brownstones and basements and, like, you know, factories and so on. It's a lot, there's a lot more grime to it. There's a lot more grit, for lack of a better term. So when you have those two heroes contrasting him, like, Superman coming out during the day, he's saving, like, space shuttles, he's saving people whose houses are being washed away, he's doing these, like, massive sweeping things that only he can do, because, you know, like, Superman swoops down, saves someone out of a burning building right before it collapses. He's, like, a savior, like, a Christ-like figure to people. When you look at Batman, he's the inverse of that. He's not explicitly, granted, he does save people. He does save those, like, those women from, those women who were being held by those dudes in that one scene. But he didn't explicitly go there to save them. He saved them by punishing the people who are keeping them there, as opposed to, like, going explicitly just to let them go. Like, he was in that environment to get those guys, and the cops came after. You know, yeah. And he's the more darker, brooding, he's not an anti-hero. The Batman is not an anti-hero. He works with the police. Just saying, people are calling him an anti-hero just because he's, you know, dark and moody. Like, no, being dark and moody doesn't make you an anti-hero. And, oh, so he's a vigilante. I mean, they're all vigilantes. He even says so in, like, this one Frank Miller comic book, you know, like Hal Jordan was pressing him on, like, yo, the way you take down bad guys, you make us look like criminals. And he just points out, like, man, we are criminals. Like, you know, we're all, they're all vigilantes when they think about it. When you think about it, you know, none of what they're doing is within the boundaries of the law. So, yeah, and I'm straying away from the thing, man. Like, the main thing that got here is Batman and his rule where he's not allowed to off people. So, the comics, there are plenty of comics, you know, like, where Batman is in a situation where, like he's, let me just put it like this. Like, Batman basically needs to grow up. There was this thing where, like, Zack Snyder was addressing, like, the negative reaction people had to Man of Steel. And it's like, people got mad because he was trying to essentially grow up the character. And I feel like that's kind of what he was trying to do with, like, with Batman, because put him in this world where you're not always going to be able to find a clean-cut way to stop the bad guys, save the day, and everything turns out hunky-dory for everyone. That's not always going to happen. That doesn't happen in our real world. So to take this character and put him in a real world situation where, like, there's the only feasible option where where the people who should walk away clean, is that someone's got to go. Thing is, when I say, like, Batman needs to grow up, like, the character has to grow up. He's got to change. He's got to evolve. He can't be the same dude for, like, 50 freaking years going. Like, I mean, going back to, like, the freaking, like, 70s Batman in his he's had that no-kill rule forever. Not forever, but, like, in the early days of comic books, there was, like, a period where, like, Batman had, like, the blue and gray outfit, and he did ice people. He did, in one episode, have a weapon where he, like, made silver bullets to take down a vampire. And to be fair, he did, you know, let's say, string someone up from the freaking bat plane and then fly off with him. And he did lock Bane in, like, this vault and then just left him there. Like, what we're led to believe is an airtight vault. So he essentially locked Bane in there and left him, you know, left him to starve. No, he did, you know, send, I think he did, like, call police eventually to go down there. And when they were down there, Bane was gone. Like, he somehow managed to find a way out of there. But if he hadn't, they would have found Bane all right, but they wouldn't have, he wouldn't have been breathing. Let's just say that much. My issue with this is that people are all frustrated, like, no, man, Batman shouldn't be offing people, like, and when he's in a position where, you know, finishing off a dude in a lethal manner would be the best, like, the best action, course of action, they're just like, don't write him in situations where he has to, like, don't put him in a situation where he's gotta take someone out, like, find a, like, write him so that there's a way, like, dude, sometimes there just isn't a way, sometimes... No, not everybody can be. I get that the reason behind Batman is no kill rule. His life was shattered by this violent act and through the use of, you know, a weapon like this. And he never wants anyone to go through something like that. So he doesn't want to kill anybody. And he never wants to use a gun. So, although that's ridiculous. The idea, like, oh, he never wants to wield a gun in his hands. I get that. I totally understand that. But the idea that he doesn't use guns at all is a lie. That is a freaking lie. There are missiles and machine guns on, like, the Batmobile. On certain versions of the Batmobile has machine guns on it. The freaking Batplane has missiles and bombs and stuff. He carries explosives. Like, Batman carries explosives, but he won't use guns. He carries what are essentially throwing stars, but he doesn't use guns. Like, the Batarang does have, like, boomerang functions if he throws it and it doesn't hit anything, like, and it can curve like a boomerang, but, like, it's basically a shuriken when you think about it, in the way that it makes impact or stuff and it sticks, you know, it is basically like a ninja throwing star, which makes sense because he was trained by, like, League of Assassins and he's basically like a trained ninja. So the idea that Batman doesn't use weapons, he does use those kinds of weapons, dangerous weapons, but he doesn't use them to the extent that it would qualify as lethal force. Nobody can say they were ever, you know, finished off by the weapon. Also, there was a freaking Batman in Dark Knight Rises. There was a Batman vehicle that had a freaking cannon on it. What do you call that? The Batpod has weapons on the front in Dark Knight Returns and in Dark Knight. So don't give me this crap that Batman doesn't use guns. He totally does use guns. He just doesn't use guns to, you know, finish people off, except in the rare instances he does, you know, like the aforementioned time he offed a vampire, and that time where he was face to face with Darkseid and he had to, like, fire some, he used a weapon to take out Darkseid, and but he also got, like, Omega beamed, and that was written by a dude who was all for Batman's no kill rule, Grant Morrison, I think his name is. So don't be like, oh yeah, you know, like, it's, you know, what Zack Snyder did wasn't, it wasn't cool because Batman in canon, he has a no-kill rule. He should never be in a position where he has to kill anybody. And yet you freaking wrote him in a position where he had to kill Darkseid because there was no other way. Like, people will, I don't get it. People accept the idea that there was no other way and this person had to go in a comic book. But in a movie, all of a sudden, it's like, no, you're not being faithful to the character. Yes. Shut up. For heaven's sake, man. Ah. But that's, I mean, look, moving on from that, like, just the idea, a Batman who kills. Also, another thing that bothers me about, like, oh, Batman shouldn't kill, whatever, whatever. The excuse. And I'm like, okay, why? Like, because the thing is, every other hero has that moment where they were like, they understand that this guy has got to go. There's no rehabilitating this person. There is no saving this person. And this person has to go. There's some people who just got to go. The world would be far better off if they weren't around. Like, whether you're Green Arrow, whether you're The Flash, whether you're Superman, Wonder Woman, everybody. Everybody has had that one villain or that one fight where they thought to themselves, this person has to go. There is no, there's like no saving this, man. Like, this guy's got to go. And they've done the necessary. Granted, those decisions have been walked back, you know, more often than not. They've been retconned. They have been just, that entire comic run has been discontinued or whatever, just blatantly ignored in the many restarts, rebirths, new 52s of the DC. But like, you know, that's always just been undone. But like, you know, there were those moments where someone just realized, hey, some people just gotta, you know, some people gotta bite the dust, man. This guy, it has to be done. So the idea of Batman doing the same, being egregious to fans of the character, just like, yeah, you know, like, I get you're mad, but like, you shouldn't be this freaking mad. You shouldn't be up in arms as people are seem to be now, and people screaming into their like YouTube channels like, Zack Snyder doesn't understand Batman. Like, no, dude, he probably understands it way more than you do. And like, he doesn't kill Batman. Like, Batman's not supposed to kill people. Like, he's not out here wielding Tommy guns, blasting fools. You know, like, he's just, it's not murder. He's not, you know, it's, you could argue, the argument could be made that these were, you know, he did only react with lethal force once said force was, once, you know, the enemies tried to apply said force to him. Like, people will mention, like, that scene where he's chasing down that truck and he uses that car as, you know, a wrecking ball. Yeah, like, oh, that guy's done. You know, like, there's okay, that guy, those people were probably finished after that wreck anyway, so it's not like he was dragging them and they were kicking, screaming in the wreck. No. But, yeah, so, and, you know, as he's, like, taking out these henchmen, keep in mind, he's not taking out these henchmen just because, oh, they're henchmen and they happen to be getting away. No, he's taking out these henchmen because they're trying to take him out. You know, you could argue this is a self-defense thing. He's not explicitly trying to off anybody. He just wants to get what's in that truck. And so later on in the warehouse fight, another scene that's like hotly, you know, spoken of in the Ultimate Edition. Everybody loved that scene, the theatrical cut. Everybody loved like Ultimate Edition. And they're like, but in the Ultimate Edition, when Batman goes hard on some fools, it's clear like one guy clearly, very likely didn't make it, because in the theatrical cut, Batman throws this huge crate at this guy. It hits him and it knocks him back into a wall and he flops to the ground. Like, oof, man, Batman really got that guy. But in the Ultimate Edition, same thing, crates, hits the guy, smacks into the wall. And as he flops, there's this stain, this big red smear as his way down. So like, oh, he really cracked his freaking head open on that impact. So it was more brutal. So this is, in fact, a Batman who isn't afraid to beat someone to that extent. Like literally crack skulls and stuff. So that, I don't mind that. I really don't mind it. The idea that this is a Batman willing to go that far, I don't mind that. But he doesn't stay that guy. It's only in BVS that he's that guy. Because, realistically speaking, we only see him in like two. No. He was in BVS, Suicide Squad, and Zack Snyder's Justice League. And it was only in BVS where we saw him willing to ice fools. Because in, you know, because at that point he was a Batman who just came back. He's like, he just came out of retirement. Because, like, Clark Kent didn't know who Batman was. He was doing a report on, like, the Gotham Bat. And it was like Bruce had come back from retirement The way the story was framed, it seemed as if Bruce came out of retirement because of the aftermath of Man of Steel. And it was like, he even said in the speech, like, this guy brought the war to us. If there's even a 1% chance he's our enemy, we need to take it as an absolute certainty. And he's like, this is the most important thing, like, he could do right now. He's got to take down Superman, because it feels like Superman, he even lays it out in the speech he has with Clark Kent. He's like, you know, you guys write a prof piece editorial about an alien who, if he wanted to, could burn the whole place down. And we wouldn't be able to stop him. There wouldn't be a damn thing we could do about it. And, like, that cannot stand. In his eyes, what happened in Metropolis, you know, this aggression cannot stand. This cannot go unpunished. This idea of this being with this unchecked power and the ability to, like, raise the world if he wanted to, just burn it to the ground, can't be allowed to continue. He's got to take him down. You know, a being capable of mass destruction is still, I don't know, is in his eyes, is one slippery slope away from willing to do acts of mass destruction. So he's got to go. He's responsible for so much. It doesn't help that he's being egged on by, like, Lex Luthor behind the scenes. But still, that Batman, suffering all that he suffered, including the loss of Robin, not Jason Todd, by the way, the Robin whose gear was in the Batcave with the ha-ha-ha spray painted on it wasn't Jason Todd. It was Dick Grayson, which explains a lot. Which, thing is, if this was just comic Batman and it was Jason Todd who was off but Grayson was still around, you know, thing is, I have been saying, like, for years, like, I've thought for years that, you know, Jason Todd dies and, like, Batman, he's mad. He's more or less mad that someone killed his sidekick. Not that, oh man, Jason Todd, you know, I cared so much about him. Like, it's like, it's more like, oh man, you know, like, this kid died, you know, like, and he was like my ward. You killed my ward. It doesn't matter who it was. You killed my ward and I'm coming for you. Like, he was mad, but he wasn't as mad. I feel like he wasn't as mad as he would have been if that was Dick Grayson. Because in the Injustice story, in Injustice, when Damian Wayne accidentally offs Grayson Todd. No. I'm getting them confused now. It was Damian Wayne who accidentally took out, you know, Dick Grayson in the stupidest freaking way. Nightwing, out of everybody in that damn comic, died in the stupidest way. Just bonk on the freaking head. And then, that was stupid. But when he died, Batman lost it. He lost it. He went down to the Batcave and he, like, sequestered himself and he was, like, just furious. He was so mad. He was punching, like, a freaking wall or a punching bag so hard and so many times that his hands were, like, caked in blood, and the Catwoman had to come down to the Batcave and, like, just soothe him and, like, just tell him, like, let it all out. Like, let it out. Like, man, just, I know you feeling, like, intense emotion. You gotta let it out, like, in a healthy way, man. Like, cry, you know, like just let out a big cry. And there's nothing wrong with crying, dude. Like, just, there's nothing wrong with a hero feeling such intense sadness that they have to have a cry about it. Like, Bruce didn't know that, but he's never been in a position where, that's another thing, he's never been in a position where he's had to feel that way. He's never been in a position where he's experienced that kind of loss again. Like, the last time he experienced a loss that big would have been, like, the loss of his parents. And that was years ago. Between then, he hasn't experienced significant loss. And the closest thing he would come to that loss in the Injustice world would be the death of Dick Grayson. Because in his eyes, like, his son was murdered. I mean, granted, he never saw Jason Todd as a son. Dick Grayson was the closest thing he had to a son. He's more of a son in the eyes of Batman than his actual son. And I'm not, that's not hyperbole, that's not me exaggerating. Just look at the dynamics, man. Look how Bruce Wayne treats Dick Grayson versus how he treats Damian Wayne. You know, like, he's his sidekick from the jump, man. It's like, ugh, this kid, man. Like, what's with this kid? Like, why won't he listen to me? But with, like, Dick Grayson, he's like, he needs to bring the guys who took out his parents to justice so that he doesn't turn out just like me. But with Damian Wayne, he's, like, trying to make him an exact copy. Like, he's your son, not your clone, man. And I know, wait, I think there's a comic out there where it's like technically he's a clone, but like I choose not to ignore that, man. That run don't mean shit to me. In the timeline that I've seen, he's dude's son. Like, dude, that is your son. That is not your clone. He's not your carbon copy. You're not gonna treat him like a soldier in an army. You have to remind, like, A, he's a kid. Remember that. And B, he is your kid. Okay? Don't treat him too much like a kid, because remember, at the end of the day, he is your kid. Not just your kid, but a kid raised by assassins. So, like, dude, you better recognize, man. Ugh. It proves my theory that, you know, Bruce losing Dick Grayson would have had a bigger impact on him than losing Jason Todd. And it did, because I think that was the moment where he did the rational thing and he was like, I'm shutting this down. He hasn't had a sidekick since then, because we don't see any other gear. It's just Batman stuff and Robin stuff. One Robin outfit and nothing else. Which shows, like, after that happened, after he found the Joker, put the hurt on him so much that he shattered all of his teeth, and, like, Joker had to wear grills. You know, like, once that happened, I think he decided to call it quits and stop being Batman. And it was ultimately the events of Man of Steel that brought him back into it, because, like, okay, the world needs Batman again. There was a threat that the world is ill-prepared to handle, but, like, someone's got to take this guy down, and I'm the only man who can do it. I'm the guy for the job. This needs to be done. You know, like, this guy is dangerous.
Let's just put it down there.
Especially Robert Pattinson.
I mean, yeah, Robert Pattinson was done dirty by the movie, I think. Like, if, when you watch those interviews, you know, of him back in the day when Twilight, you know, was so big, he was just so not the right person to put out there. Like, if they were wanting to advertise their movie, they should have chosen somebody else, because he was just trash talking the entire time.
Don't forget that one interview that he straight up walked out of.
Exactly. He was, like, not the right one. I don't know. Maybe he had the looks to be the face of the whole shebang, but he definitely didn't have, like, the mouth. He was too unhinged, man.
Yeah. During those press tours, he had all the charisma of a man being held at gunpoint.
Precisely. I mean, like, I think Robert Pattinson is a good actor altogether. Like, I mean, not even looking at Batman or anything. You know, generally in his career, he's done some good work. He's a good actor.
Yeah. Don't forget that one movie where he had to jerk off on camera.
Oh. I forget about that one. But I mean, like, The Lighthouse and those kinds of things were really nice
movies. Oh, yeah, the black and white movie where it's just two dudes yelling at each other for an hour. That's some good acting right there.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm not crapping on the movie. I'm just saying, you know, if you can take two guys stuck in a lighthouse, no women, and have them yell at each other for an hour and make it interesting, then more power to you. That's solid acting.
I suppose, I get you. Hey, my head is so sore, little. Let me tell you, I woke up today with a headache. I woke up at 3, right? Because, you know, we have to eat before the sun comes up. I ate oatmeal and I drank 2 glasses of water. It was a struggle, let me tell you. But it didn't even matter, because I just went back to sleep and sweat all that water out of my body.
It was a struggle to drink water.
Yeah, you know, have you tried drinking water at 3 a.m., eating and drinking water?
Yes, except I don't use water. I use, like, juice and soda and whatnot, you know, coffee, assortments of drinks, you know, like, eating and drinking. It's this thing that humans do when they consume food.
But I have to be forced to do it at 3 a.m., okay? It's not my preferred time to eat. You know, I eat like around 10 o'clock.
Oh.
Like, that's when I eat.
So you're being forced to eat. So you're like the sloth guy from Seven.
Yeah.
Do you know what
But
that
anyways.
is?
No.
Then why were you sitting there going, yeah, that
I'm googling it right now.
you don't even know what that is, and you're just
I'm
going,
just to
yeah.
distract you so I can Google it, so I can Google it, man.
Oh, this is
Sloth
just.
guy, what?
This is
What
just
the hell
sad.
is?
What?
Okay, see? Googling it.
Well, this is.
Michael Reed McKay. Anyways, okay, I get you.
Do you now?
Yeah.
Do you
Google is our
really?
friend.
What?
Yeah, Google is our friend, man.
Do you even know who? What the? I don't think you're looking at the right thing for you to just be like, okay, Google is our friend. Like, have you even seen the movie Seven?
No, but there's a lot of these pictures are kind of. Yeah.
Wow. Not inspiring much confidence here. I'll just tell you what's going on. It's this film where these two detectives are tracking down this serial killer who's killing people according to the seven deadly sins. The sloth guy, you know, like the sin of sloth, it's like somebody who doesn't move, who
Yeah.
don't really go nowhere, they just lay there and let themselves go to waste. So, well, I mean, goddamn. Okay, that was the wrong guy, that was the wrong sin. I confused the two. The sloth guy. That guy had arguably one of the worst deaths in the whole damn film. But the guy I was talking about was the gluttony dude. That's what I meant. That makes way more sense given what you were explaining. See,
Oh, yeah.
the serial killer is killing people according to the seven deadly sins. So the, what was it? It's pride, lust, envy, sloth, wrath. Am I missing something? How many was that?
I don't
Pride, lust, wrath, sloth, envy, and gluttony. That's six. I know I'm missing something. Whatever, it'll come to me. So, yeah, when it comes to like the victims and everything, you got the sloth guy who has the arguably the worst death of anybody because he was tied to a bed and just left there for a year. And when they found him, he was, you'd think he would be dead, but no, he's still alive. He's all shriveled up and skinny and shit, and he had to bite off bits of his tongue to sustain himself, but he's still alive. It's gruesome and
I
shit,
mean, I
man.
would just die. I wouldn't even attempt to sustain myself. If that was my situation, I would just let myself starve. If anything, I'd like bang my head against the bed frame or something. Try to just off myself at that point.
He had the worst death of anybody. Like, even the guy, even the doctor who got a hold of him said that he's been through about as much pain and suffering as anybody has ever had to endure. And he still has hell to look forward to. What the fuck?
You watch some strange thing.
Not really, but like, that's pretty bad. I think the second. No, this isn't the second worst death. The last victim had like the second worst death. The third worst would have to be gluttony. Because this was just a fat dude, like a morbidly obese dude who was killed by. They basically locked him in a. They chained him up in a kitchen and he was force-fed every day, all day. You just had to sit there and eat every day, all day, even when he didn't want to, just for a full
I think
year.
that's the worst death.
Really? You think it's a worse death to
Yeah.
have to eat yourself to death?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people have suffered starvation, basically. So I think that, I don't know. I feel like the food, the eating death sounds more painful. Like, I mean, the starvation one, okay, you know, you'll get dehydrated, you'll lose weight. But in like 2 weeks, you know, your body will start eating itself. It will eventually eat your brain and you'll be dead. I think that's a better death than eating yourself to death. You know what I mean?
Oh, they found the guy. Yeah. They just found the guy in the middle of this filthy ass kitchen, like just this gluttonous, like blob of a man, just stuck in a chair, chained up, like face down in a bowl of spaghetti. Like wasn't even allowed to go to the bathroom. Like to go to the bathroom, like the dude keeping him there just cut a hole in his chair and stuck a bucket under it. That was it.
Oh my god, what movies are you watching?
It's a horror film. I told you the dude was killing people according to their sins. The gluttony guy had to stuff his face. The sloth guy was... It's a horrible movie. Yeah. The sloth guy was stuck to a bed. It is pretty... I'll tell you this much. This movie is so... Like, it is so good at being this horror thriller story that no other movie has actually matched that since then. There have been so many movies trying to copy it, but none has really come close. Like, yes, this movie is so grimy that you feel like you gotta take a shower after watching it. But damn, it's like, it's that good grime. It's not grimy for the sake of being grimy, but like, you know, it's grimy for a purpose. Let me say that, Mice.
Sure.
It's plus, if you've seen The Batman, you'll see some parallels between, you know, the Riddler and this guy. But obviously the Batman is like way more toned down. Then again, he did shove a rat down some guy's throat. So I mean, that's pretty awful.
Batman definitely had his moments, though.
Yeah.
He definitely did. If anything, he was a bit psychotic.
He runs around town dressed like a bat. I think that would be obvious.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't put him in a mental hospital still. Because I'm just saying, right? Like, forget the fact that he's Bruce Wayne. Let's say, like, one day he's just, you know, out in his little bat suit fighting crime. Like, he's like, he has no powers or anything, you know? Like, I feel like a good group of policemen can take him down, you know? And put him, like, a mental hospital.
Doubt it.
I'll find out he's Bruce Wayne, and like, I mean, Bruce Wayne has a whole lot of money and connections to get him out. But I feel like, as the Batman, you know, he's living his little nightlife thing, you know, I feel like they could take him.
I highly doubt that, because at the end of the day, even though Batman is just a guy, he's still Batman.
I don't know, I think people hype him up too much.
I agree. There's definitely a lot of that going around. Particularly as it relates to Dark Knight Rises.
Like, if you compare Batman, Bruce Wayne, to, like, his son, Damian Wayne, right? Like, okay, they both individuals who don't have powers. But, like, Damian Wayne, you know, he was trained in the League of Assassins. You know, he's a Stone Cold killer, that child. I feel like he'd be, like, a better Batman. I mean, you know, he eventually becomes Batman. But, like, he's, like, more of a force to be reckoned with than Bruce Wayne.
To be fair, Bruce was also trained by the League of Assassins. He just went about it a different way.
I mean, true, but this child was raised, you know? He went there, like, in the middle of his life, you know? This child was, like, raised there, you know? He grew up killing people and being trained to kill people. Like, yeah. I mean, Bruce had to go through a little tragedy to, like, do those things.
Arguably the best Robin is Damian Wayne, with Jason Todd and,
100%.
You know, coming in at a close... Actually, no, that's not... He wasn't... Let's be fair, Jason Todd wasn't Robin that long. You know,
he wasn't, because, you know, Batman effed up.
Yeah.
But he makes a really good Red Hood.
Yeah.
I think... Arguably, Damian Wayne will always be the best Robin, because he's, like, you know, he's the best, you know, in terms of fighting, in terms of battle IQ, etc. He knows what he's doing. He didn't have to be trained by Batman or anything. I mean, he had to be trained in different things, like learning justice and when to hold back. But he didn't have to be like trained in fighting. And I mean, arguably, Dick Grayson would be better Robin than Jason Todd would be. Because, you know, he grew up in the circus. You know, he has some athletic abilities.
True.
And I mean, Jason Todd just came from like a hard... So I guess he learned some street smarts and know-how in that way. But like, I don't know. His peak was definitely not Robin.
Yeah, he definitely reached his zenith as a character when he became the Red Hood, as opposed to when he was Robin.
Did you watch the Titans TV series by any chance?
No, that trailer absolutely just pushed me away. Like, nah, this show is trying way too hard to be edgy, man.
I actually liked it though. I get where you're coming from, but like, I liked like the actors they chose to play these characters. Like, I know a lot of people have black because Starfire was a black girl.
I don't give a fuck that Starfire is black. Starfire is an alien. She can be played by anybody as long as they look the part. This chick did not look the part.
But she did though. Like, Starfire isn't like a light-skinned character.
She doesn't have frizzy-ass hair either.
Okay, wait. I get why you're saying that, because personality-wise...
No. This ain't even that. This isn't even that. It's that hair. That fucking hair. That frizzy-ass hair that freaking Season 2 Batwoman has too. That neon sign that says, yes, this is a black person. Like,
Starfire in the comic book. She has some really big hair.
Yes, but it ain't frizzy as hell like that.
You notice about her.
Yes, the hair. It was the first thing I noticed. I don't care that Starfire is black. She could be Indian. She could be Asian. It doesn't matter. She's an alien. She could be played by anybody. The big issue I had is that fucking hair. Straighten that shit or cast someone else. For fuck's sake. Get it right.
It doesn't need to be straightened. They just needed to curl it better. Because Starfire didn't have curly hair. I mean, didn't have straight hair. She had curly hair. They just needed to, like, I don't know, put more conditioner in it or something.
Relax the shit or just don't even bother.
That's very wrong of you, Liz, okay? I have curly hair. You have curly hair. Don't hate on the curly-haired people.
I do not have curly hair. I have an afro.
Yes, you have C4 hair. You know what my hair is?
What?
It's CA.
That does not make sense.
I'm being serious. Okay, you know when you met me in college? I used to straighten my hair every week.
Okay, moving on from the nappy-headed Starfire and other shenanigans of Titans. There's one thing
nasty.
That...
Don't call her that.
Okay. One thing that did bother me, though, the one thing that turned me off, even before seeing Starfire, that one thing that did turn me off was that trailer where they're like Robin was beating on some hoods and, like, someone said something about Batman, and then Robin looks right in the camera and says, fuck Batman. Like, right there, I was just like, okay, I'm out. I'm not watching
Robin
this crap.
Who is Robin?
Like, I don't...
Which one of the adopted children is playing Robin in the Titans? I'll tell you who it is. It's Jason Todd. It's very in character for him to say shit like that.
No, it doesn't... Even if it is, I don't really... That's not really my concern who the Robin is. It was that... They felt the need to say that because they want you to know, like, oh, this ain't your grandpa's Robin. This is the new Robin. He's edgy. He says, fuck now. Like, okay, motherfucker.
Jason Todd has always dropped F-bombs and way worse.
Actually, no, he doesn't. He does swear. I'm not saying he don't swear. I'm just saying He doesn't swear for little shit like that, where he'll just turn at some random thug and be like, F Batman. Like, what? No, he would not do that. Jason Todd would just shoot the fucking guy and move on with his day. Why would he waste his time with some thug?
Red Hood then. He didn't go through trauma. He was just a little angry, little munchkin, a little teenager, you know, playing Robin.
You want to hear about it? You want to talk about an angry little munchkin playing Robin? Talk about Tim Drake. There's the munchkin just playing Robin.
Yo, I hate Tim Drake, huh? I don't like him. His backstory is the worst from all of them. And he's just like, ugh, he's just so, I don't know.
He's, no, wait a minute. I'm looking at Titans right now. The guy who said that wasn't Jason Todd, it was Dick Grayson. Well,
Grayson was Nightwing.
Not at the beginning. I know he becomes Nightwing, but he was Robin when he said that. His suit still had the big old R on it. But you are right about Tim Drake. Tim Drake has to be the least interesting Robin of all of them. And that includes the one where Robin is a chick in the Dark Knight series.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't...
Who was
it? I don't know.
Was it Cassandra or Barbara?
No, I don't think that was it. But initially, when I first saw that girl, I was like, I am not, keep in mind, I am not homophobic. But when I saw that girl, I didn't know that I didn't know that was a girl. So I'm like, that has got to be the gayest Robin I've ever seen in my life. And I've seen Robin back when he didn't have pants. Just, then a friend pointed out, that's not a dude.
I actually the evolution of the Robin costume, because it went from that little spandex to like Damian Wayne's Robin suit, and it just looks so much better now.
Yeah, I would definitely have some serious questions for this, I don't know, 40 something year old billionaire running around with a kid with no pants. Just like, my man, yeah. You care to explain that? Like,
is there something going on? Do we need to be concerned?
I love telling people this, because did I tell you what dude does on Dick's birthday?
What?
Oh, I did. I swear I've told this story to a bunch of people, but I guess I didn't tell you. So, this is, and keep in mind, this is canon. This is not like some Elseworlds story or whatever. This is a canon event. In the comics, back when Dick Grayson was living with Bruce at Windmere, it turns out that every year, on his birthday, like Bruce Wayne, like while Robin is sleeping, sneaks into his room and he wakes him up by spanking him right on his ass once for every year that he's turned since, you know, coming here. Like, so if he's turned 16, that's like 16 spanks, you know, like just.
No, I can't. What is this information you're just feeding me?
It's real.
It's not very angsty. Dark and tall Bruce Wayne. Okay, it's not giving.
I am not joking. It is very real. It is in DC Comics. It is out there.
You see, this is why we need to ignore the comics, right? We need to just stick with animated series and the few good live actions that we have.
Yeah. I don't want to see... I don't know. I don't want to see that.
Even like the Wonder Woman comic, you know, like back in its early days.
She used to get tied up a lot. I'm just saying.
Like, I don't know what's going on.
Wonder Woman used to get captured and tied up a lot back then. Just...
Precisely. No, but like even the concept of it, right? Like an island of women, you know, of women warriors that are like all, you know, in little tight clothes and, you know. It's just sus.
Okay, let me ask you this, since you think it's just sus. For like the better part of hundreds of years, Wonder Woman was on an island surrounded by women every day, all day. Do you think she had a girlfriend?
100%. Did you not watch the animated series where she's like, I come from an island full of women. You do the man to Superman.
I know she's definitely hit a few of those women, because even, not even in animated series, in the Wonder Woman movie,
She makes like a reference, like when, because Steve Trevor asked her, like, so you've never been with a guy? Like, you've never, like, done it with anybody? And
Yeah.
she doesn't say, like, yeah, I've done it with women, but she says it in this roundabout way where she mentions how, like, she knows that men are only useful for, like, procreating and, like, reproduction and so on
No, she's
when it
like, you
comes
know,
to.
what if, men are not needed for pleasure or something
Yeah,
like that.
that gives it away right there. Like, oh yeah, she definitely had, she didn't just have a girlfriend, she had a few. She had a few.
100%. What do you think of Batman? Not Batman, sorry, Superman and Wonder Woman. Do you think they make a good pairing?
It could work. I mean, there's several
I mean,
comic
they're
runs where
both
it does.
superhumans, you know what I mean?
Yeah, in Kingdom Come and in Injustice, they both get together. To be fair, only in Kingdom Come does it end up working out. But in Injustice, you know, like they both become this crazy like power couple. But it makes sense. Like when Superman and Wonder Woman shack up, it makes sense. That's all I'm gonna say, you know.
I mean, yeah, definitely better than Lois Lane. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean those, it's a, it makes, I mean obviously they in both those comic runs, Kingdom Come and in Injustice, they the writer makes sure that Lois Lane is not around, you know, like she's been offed by some evil force or whatever so that Superman can get with Wonder
Obviously.
Woman, but like, you know.
Both of them actually, they're just two like boy and girl next door. Like, you know, they're those archetypes. They're all about justice and doing what's right. So I think they're very fitting in that way.
Yeah. Of
But what they think is right. And sometimes, you know, that means offing all of humanity for the greater good or something like that. But I mean, I think that they have in their head, in their own effed up ways, they have good intentions behind what evil they're doing.
not
You know, they
always,
kind of warped it in that kind
but
of way.
yeah.
Not always, but I feel like in their head, like they kind of warped it
There
to
was
kind of like fit their agenda.
yeah, there was this one like Frank Miller Justice League story. I don't know if it was Justice League or if it was Dark Knight, where like Superman and Wonder Woman got together and they hooked up, and they like they hooked up so hard that it actually caused an earthquake. That was,
I can imagine that.
that made me laugh, but I'm like, you did not just write that. Like, even as I'm reading it, I'm like, you didn't seriously just write that down, man. You
No,
didn't.
some of these comic book writers were stuff, man. I don't know what they were smoking while they were writing all of this or drawing all of this, but I don't know. That was some heavy stuff.
Remember the one where Superman became a porn star? Well, not a porn star, but he had a
I
sex
do.
tape. It was him and Big Barda, which, let's be honest, if you were gonna shack up with anyone on OnlyFans, it would, that's not a bad choice.
I mean, true. But honestly, DC animated is not for kids. I don't know why people think it is. I feel like it's in the category of anime at this point, you know?
It doesn't help that there's actual DC anime, so.
Yeah, true, but I'm just saying, you know? Like, I think I've watched all the Batman ones, you know, Death in the Family, Bad Blood, etc. Even Hush I watched. I loved Hush because it had Catwoman in it. And Catwoman isn't featured in a lot of animated movies or series. It's very sad,
I liked Hush
actually.
because there towards the end when Hush revealed himself to be the Riddler, it's a stupid reveal, but still, when dude reveals himself to be the Riddler and like Batman starts talking trash to him, like I love that part. People say Batman doesn't have a superpower. He does, man. He's got the power of roasting, man. He can roast anybody and everybody. Doesn't matter if you're the Riddler or
True.
Superman, he will trash talk you till you cry. Shit.
Yeah.
Like,
Oh, and
yeah.
I really liked Son of Batman. That was a good one because we got to see Tanya Al Ghul and the rest of them. I actually liked Tanya Al Ghul. She was a good fit.
She was, wasn't she? Yeah,
you were saying?
On the subject of Batman, I must ask, how do you feel about Batman and his no-kill rule?
Hey, I get where it comes from because he doesn't want to ever, you know, he doesn't want to become the thing he hates the most, basically, you know, because of what happened to his parents, etc. I think there's a lot of trauma behind it to understand why he does it. And I think this was especially touched on in Injustice, Batman versus Superman. But I don't know, man. I respect the guy for it, to be honest, because some of the superheroes are not, they're not scared to do the deed if it needs to be done, like Superman and Wonder Woman, you know, they've killed people before, you know?
True.
Not that Batman hasn't killed people, he has killed people along the comic, but he's, like, felt very remorseful about it, or had some kind of guilt about it. But I don't know, man, like, when I watched, like, Death in the Family or Reddit, it just seems like, you know, he doesn't want to kill the Joker now because, I don't know, he's just going to be as bad as him for what he did to Jason, etc., etc. But that was, like, your son, man. Like, if I was Jason, I would be angry. Like, it went off. He did what Batman was supposed to do in that movie. But I don't know. It's a very controversial thing about him. I think there's pros to it because, I don't know, I don't think you should be offing people for choices that they've made that have definitely been influenced by horrible things that happened in their past, etc., etc. But also some of the people maybe deserve to die a bit, just a tiny bit.
Definitely. And you've seen Batman versus Superman, correct?
Yes.
What did you think when you saw, like, Ben Affleck's Batman offing dudes in that movie?
It was very out of pocket, man. I was like, oh my gosh, what did they do? What is happening with Batman? He's gone, like, psycho now. I don't know. It was a very bad take.
To be fair,
I don't know what they were trying to do movie.
So you didn't like the nightmare sequence where he's, like, coming out of the bunker with the trench coat and the machine gun and taking people out?
I mean, obviously it was cool, but I thought it was, like, for show. And then he actually started killing people, and I was like,
you really think Batman would carry around a machine gun for show?
I don't know, man. I don't know what to expect, but it was very out of pocket. It was very shocking.
So, in a world, in a world overrun with parademons and some post-apocalyptic hellscape, you would want Batman to maintain his no-kill rule?
Well, obviously not. Okay, I think that's the parademons or whatever you call them. I guess they're not no longer, like, human anymore. Oh, wait, they came from outer space, right?
Yes.
I forget. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's different.
So it bothers you when Batman offs people. But him offing these faceless aliens, suddenly it's like, it's okay.
I don't know, man. I don't know how to explain it. Maybe I have empathy issues. But what do you think about it? Did you enjoy the scene?
I am absolutely not one of these losers out here who be yelling like, no, Batman shouldn't kill people. He never uses guns. He never kills somebody. The Zack Snyder's ruining the character. This isn't right. Like, no, you freaking crybaby basement dwelling punk. That's it's his movie. He can do whatever the hell he wants with it. And as for this idea that Batman doesn't kill people, where have y'all been? Batman totally offs people. Every version of Batman in live action has offed somebody at some point. Freaking Keaton's Batman wanted to kill the Joker, and Joker ended up dead. He also, he stuck a bomb to a guy and shoved him down a manhole in Batman Returns. And lest we forget, Val Kilmer's Batman caused Two-Face's death, you know, when he was, like, flipping a coin, and then Batman chucked a bunch of coins at him, and he lost his balance and fell to his doom.
Yeah, that ain't murder, but that is 100% creating the circumstances that led to someone's death. So that's manslaughter,
I
mean,
okay,
at least.
True, I get you. As I said before, Batman has not, like, he's not insane. He has definitely killed people before.
Also, not even, it's not just, you know, the Burton era Batman or the 90s Batman. Batman Begins, Christian Bale's Batman has this line of, I won't kill you, but I don't have to save you. Like, you're still killing him, dude. You left him in a train that's heading for a freaking dead end, man. You are killing him, creating the circumstances for a death, and then bailing. Like, what the heck?
True.
For a guy who's like, I don't kill people, I only have one rule, suddenly a lot of his villains end up dead. I mean, Ra's al Ghul, dead.
Bad.
Bane, dead. Harvey Dent, dead. And yet he out here like, I don't kill people. Didn't you shove Harvey Dent off a roof? Man, just...
I mean, bro. But honestly, I appreciated Christian Bale's Batman. He did a good job.
Yeah.
I think, personally, he did a better job than Ben Affleck.
Mm.
I didn't really like Ben Affleck's Batman, to be honest.
I did. He's the most comic accurate Batman.
I mean, true. Maybe I'm just biased because I really like Christian Bale. You know, he can yell at me.
We each have our own, you know, we got our reasons for why we like our respective Batman. But personally, I like Ben Affleck's Batman.
And also,
Batman.
You know, he was Patrick Bateman in American Psycho. I love American Psycho.
Hmm. That's probably why he was able to play such a good Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, 100%. Like, American Psycho, I read the book, I watched the movie. It's very much, you know, it speaks about classism and society in general. And it's almost like the movie itself is a microcosm for how society works. So I think it's, like, it's very nice. And he played a really good Patrick Bateman. And people are like, oh, it's going to end your career. But it didn't.
A microcosm of how society works. I don't think so. It's more like a window into how society works for the rich and... Well, the rich and shameless, mostly. Cause,
yeah, that's what I mean.
Because realistically, if you look at the dudes that Bateman be sitting in an office with, they all got the same hair, same suits, same... Essentially the same job. And when you think about it, even down to the damn business cards, they be showing off business cards that, like, to them, they're like, this is made of, like, I don't know, some special kind of oak, the graded lettering, look at the, I don't know, the faint cream finish or whatever. But to anyone else looking at these freaking business cards, they're the same. They're all white with black writing. It's got dude's name, job occupation, the logo of the company, and that's it. They're all the same business card put together by dudes that are pretty much the exact same guy, but they're being presented like, oh no, my business card's better than his card. Mine is different than his card. They're the same damn card.
Right.
Yeah.
To be honest, he's just living in his delusions.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Though it was funny when when he had the scene where like, let's see Paul Allen's card. And then Paul Allen pulls out his card and he's like, my God, it's got like raised lettering. And look at the subtle hint of so and so. And he's just dreading there like, oh my God, it's way better than my card.
It was so dramatic, honestly. But he played a really good part.
Yeah. Apparently he could sweat on cue. Like, Christian Bale can sweat on cue. Like, that is...
Aquaman.
Yeah, that's some... That was weird. But that regime, though. That, like, Finnish regime at the beginning. If... You just know that if Patrick Bateman was a real dude and he was around in this day and age, he'd be an influencer or something. Like, that little clip show, his Get Ready With Me's...
I built my regime around his regime. Me and him are the same.
Like, you just know he would have, like, not even Instagram. He doesn't seem like an Instagram guy. He'd be on, like, YouTube and shit, doing, like,
I begin my day with like a cooling mask and shit.
Yeah, no, like he would give Andrew Tate around with money.
Damn. Or he'd just off him and call it a day, man. You know that dude can't stand competition.
True, true.
But like, I like the ending. Like, the ending, like, where he's just sitting in a restaurant staring off into space. The whole world going on around him, and he was like, this has all been for nothing. This confession, all of this has meant nothing. Like, just, Jesus, dude. That was the most pessimistic shit I've ever heard. God damn.
But honestly, it's like eye-opening because, I don't know, we all live in our delusions, but we all really are fitting into the box that society has carved out for us.
Damn, like, also it was a tad confusing whether or not, like, he actually killed anybody. I mean, we know he killed some people. But, like, whether or not he actually killed Paul Allen, that was up in the air.
I think it was all in his head. I don't think any of it happened.
Really?
Because he didn't kill Paul Allen. Because remember, like, at the end when he spoke to his lawyer, he was like, I just saw Paul Allen in, I don't know, in Paris or Italy or something.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, we know he killed some people. The one guy where it's up in the air if he killed him or not is Paul Allen, because the said the lawyer was like, I just spoke to Paul Allen like a while ago, man. Like, you didn't kill anybody. And when he went back to the room where the supposed murder happened, he was expecting like blood and viscera, but the place was like for sale. You know, it was clean. But there's also a theory that he did in fact kill Paul Allen, and the guy that the lawyer talked to wasn't Paul Allen, because there was a scene earlier in the movie where someone actually mistakes Patrick Bateman for Paul Allen, which, let's be real, it would be easy to do. All these fools look the same. So,
but hey, I don't know.
I'm just saying, Patrick Bateman may have killed Paul Allen, and the guy the lawyer talked to was just some random guy who had a similar job and similar look, and the lawyer just thought that he was Paul Allen. You know, it is possible.
True, true.
Though there's a lot of, there's a scene in that movie where, like, they're all sitting at a restaurant, and they're talking about, like, a war in some far-off country or whatever, like, I think it's absolutely horrendous what's happening in this place. Like, what do you think, Patrick? Like, just... And then the guy goes on and on about, like, you know, if we really want to make change, like, you know, like, America has got to do this and that, this and that. It's really reflective of some conversations being had now. Because, like, there are definitely tons of people who are using actual conflicts and actual crises as nothing but, like, a conversation starter. Like, this dude doesn't... Do you really think this asshole cares what's going on in some foreign country? No, he's just bringing it up in his conversation so it can seem like he's well-informed and, you know, he's giving a shit because he's trying to impress the chick he's with or whatever, you know, like, it's all aesthetic. The dude's whole life is aesthetic.
It's a very relatable movie all in one as well, because I think maybe we got a part of that class, you know what I mean?
Be honest though, be honest with yourself, if you could be a part of that 1% going to them country clubs and reservations in fancy restaurants, men in suits and gel hair and shit, you'd get in on that.
I would do anything for a check, Plato. That's what you don't realize.
Yeah. I wouldn't, honestly, it would probably be tough for someone like me to get in on that on account of I don't look like them other dudes. I mean, I can relax my hair and wear fancy suits all the day, all live long day, but like, it would be weird just sitting there like all these motherfuckers look the same. It's like same, 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 me, same, same, just. I If I did do some Patrick Bateman stuff, I wouldn't get away with it because...
There was not one person of color in that movie.
True. Which is what,
No, that...
Yeah. Well, there was...
Very reflective, right?
Well, there was one guy, but he was a homeless guy, so... I mean...
Well, see. Oh my god, don't even bring up that scene. It was a horrible scene when he kills the dog.
Wasn't it a cat? Didn't he try to shove a cat into an ATM?
Oh yeah, but then some lady stops him.
Yeah, the machine was like, feed me a stray cat. Oh shit. Like, what? If I was at an ATM and it just read, feed me a stray cat, like, I'm leaving. I'm like, okay, first I'm taking my card. Like, first I'm taking my card, then leaving. I'm not leaving my card in some ATM somewhere.
Especially one that's haunted.
Yes. Oh, shit. Whew.
Honestly, it was a nice movie, though. I like it.
Good movie, though. But back to the Batman.
It's the dog.
Back to the Batman.
But otherwise, it was.
I must ask, though, like... So you didn't like Nightmare Batman with his trench coat and machine gun. What about...
Yeah, it's a cool look. It gave me very much, you know, Matrix vibes. I liked it.
Matrix.
Yeah.
So the brown trench coat in the middle of the desert gave Matrix vibes.
Okay, fine. You know what I mean, man. You know what I mean. Matrix is not defined by black, okay?
It kind of is, though. Black and green, though, mostly. But, yeah.
I suppose so.
I get what you mean. I never noticed... There was this minor detail that I didn't notice until I did a full-on, like, marathon of the movies, one after the other. But Neo's suits change in every movie. Neo has a different suit in every movie. Yeah, he does. At the end of the first one, he's got, like, the black trench coat with a tie and the sunglasses. In the second one, he's got, like, this full-on buttoned all the way up fit like Bruce Lee. And in the third one, he's still wearing, like, a buttoned all the way to the top fit, but it's a different style of jacket. Like, it's different material. You know, like...
Well, you know, you might as well slay in a multitude of it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know what I mean? Might as well.
And then you get Trinity.
With your mind, okay? You just have to think it, and you're, like, wearing the outfit. Like, I would have fun with it.
And then you
I would make, like, a... Like,
yeah. You get old Trinity still rocking the full body leather all the way through the three movies.
No, see, that's also kind of stupid, right? Because... You want to keep yourself incognito. Yeah? I'm on the phone! You know, it's kind of stupid because it's definitely a different look from, like, you know, what's regular, what everyday people wear. And I think it makes you stand out, if anything.
Body leather look. I'm kind of glad she ditched it for Matrix Resurrections because... Granted, Carrie-Anne Moss still looks fine. Like, she's fine as hell, but, like, someone of her age should not be wearing a full-body leather and, like, you know... I'm not ageist. It's just, you know, it would seem kind of silly to rock that outfit nowadays.
Oh, it would definitely make me stand out.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Did you like Matrix Resurrections?
Obviously not. What? I only like the first two.
Why? Why did you dislike it so much?
It just was, I don't know, it was so different to me. You know when you go into a movie expecting it to be like that movie, and then it just does something different. You know, instead of going left, it goes right. So, I don't like it. I don't like it when they lose the plot too much.
So what I just heard was, you know, when you go into a movie and you expect it to be a movie, and then it becomes a movie, but like a different movie, You don't like that? Is that what you're saying? Because this is very wishy-washy in terms of an answer.
Oh, I just don't like it. It just doesn't pay homage to the original Matrix.
So with all those shout-outs and callbacks to those original movies, not doing it for you.
No, man. Okay, Matrix ended the revolution for me. It finished.
Yeah, I have the same feeling with like Matrix and Expendables. Like the Expendables movie does not have a fourth movie. It ended at three, and four was just that bad, man. I movie. But my issue with Matrix Resurrections is that it suffers from the same problem that the Jason Bourne movie does, in that, you know, we it feels more like the director and the lead star and all that. They had to come back and do another one. So rather than come up with something new, they were like, let's take the last three movies and like mesh them together into one movie and call that a fourth movie.
Oh no, Expendables was horrible, the last one. I don't even like Expendables that much. It was just like giving, I don't know, these actors that but washed up, you know, a little bit of I don't know, homage, a little bit of attention in their old age. But I mean, you know, let the baddies lie, man. They had their time, they had their movies finished. Enjoy retirement.
I feel that way about, you know, Matrix Resurrections and so on. Like, in regards to, thing is, there's almost nothing in Matrix Resurrections that we haven't seen already in like the first three movies.
That's what I'm saying. They should have just, I don't know, they should have done something better with the movie if they wanted to like make a, you know, like a little movie that kind of paid homage to it, that kind of like, you know, awakened the fandom again, you know, because Matrix Revolutions happened a long time ago, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, I don't know, they just didn't execute it well. It was very, it's just like slapdab job. You know what I mean?
They didn't even get both the Wachowskis to come back. It was just one of them.
Exactly. You know, like the people that were in the movies back in the day aren't even like interested anymore. It's like how they're trying to make, you know, Harry Potter series.
Yeah, but that's different.
Oh my God, I just scratched myself open.
May want to trim them nails then.
I'm like bleeding. Oh my
Exactly why you
God.
should trim those nails.
Ask you, there was some brouhaha stirred by Zack Snyder's appearance on Joe Rogan's show, as he talked about like Batman's no kill rule and how having that rule prohibits the character from like evolving. Essentially, like people getting mad, like people getting mad at his Batman seemingly killing people, you know, like he doesn't understand because he views Batman being that aggressive in that movie as like him growing up the character. Like, do you agree with that sentiment? Like, it's his attempt to grow up the character. Yeah.
You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of like how you remember the beginning of the Batman movie? He was like literally a force of nature. He was just terrifying.
It was
It's like
vengeance. Yeah.
that character never grew up and he still kept acting like that. He would eventually kill people.
Yeah.
In fact, I think it's the opposite. I don't I think Batman's no kill rule is a very key part of his character. And then just like, oh no, that's the only thing stunting his growth. You know what actually would like completely make him into a better person would be if he stops being Batman and he actually becomes a politician in Gotham. Is there was a movie, and I don't know if you've seen this clip, right? Like he falls in love with this girl and he's sitting in front of his parents' grave and he's like, he's grieving. He's like, you know what? I've done this for so long. I don't know anything else. I don't know who I am without this, but she makes me want to leave it all behind.
Mask of the
Like,
Phantasm.
Yeah.
Yes, it was Mask of the Phantom. And that was like the most raw Batman has ever been with himself. Yeah. That is like his growth. That is like his evolution. It's like if he puts down that mask and like becomes a politician.
Yeah. Like he would actually force him to actually change and learn and grow.
Yeah, it would.
And the thing is,
have you seen the White Knight comic?
Nah, I heard about it, but I haven't seen it. But like, there's you bring up Mask of the Phantasm. Like, weirdly enough, that was back when like WB was seemingly making the right moves, because when the Bruce Timm and them were making Mask of the Phantasm, they were like halfway done, and one of the WB execs happened to like be just checking in the one day, and he saw what they were doing. Mask of the Phantasm was just supposed to be like something on TV. It was like another like 3 episodes of the animated series, and like someone from WB saw it and was like, yo, that's gotta be a movie. Like, we're putting that in theaters, man. Like, no way we're just gonna shove that on TV. I'm like,
yeah,
it proves, man, every now and then even a busted clock is right.
Yeah. Yeah, a busted clock is right twice a day.
Yeah. Even though there's no batteries and one of the hands is missing, but like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm glad they did. That's such an iconic Batman movie.
Yeah. And if it was just like, oh, another 3 episodes of, you know, TV, it would have got lost in the shuffle. Because that was a good show.
That was a good show. But yeah, it wouldn't have gotten lost, but its impact would have been lessened, because when you have it on in a movie, you're exposing it to a lot of people who have never seen the show.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to go like 30 episodes deep so that they can see this 3-parter. Like, they're going to watch it as a movie.
But damn, my man, like, when you break Batman down in that way, like, you question, like, is his no-kill rule actively, like, I don't know, like, you're for the no-kill rule, and I get why he has it, but I'm like, what I'm against is the idea that if he breaks it, he's gonna, like, become some murdering maniac. Like, his excuse of why he doesn't kill the Joker is, like Jason asked him why, because it's too hard? He's like, nah, it would be too easy. Like, to put him through all the pain of everyone to put him through and then kill him, like, that would be way too easy. And then I would just, like, there would be another guy and another guy. And I'm like, you don't know that, man. Like, you don't know that for sure. You don't know if you just ice this one dude who the world would be better off without, that there would just be, like, you'd be like, nah, let's get all of them. Let's clean house. And I'm like, no, man. Like, stop. Like, to imply that, implies that Batman has no self-control, no restraint, none of that. The only thing keeping him in check is the fact that he hasn't killed anybody. Like, that's ridiculous.
I do wonder, like, what happened, because you know about the Batman who laughs, right?
That is a terrible example. I hate people bring that shit up. They're like, see this? This is what would happen if Batman killed people. He would become this. I'm like,
no, it's not the fact that he killed him. It's that what effect would it have on Bruce's psychosis if he kept this rule for so long and then one day it broke? What happens to you then when one of your pillars of character just shatter? What happens to your mind? That's the part that really got to me. Not the fact he killed the Joker. He killed the Joker is like, whatever. But it's what it stood for so long that the Joker really pushed him to that edge and it just snapped. What happened to him after that? That's the part that, like, gets to me about Batman killing.
I see, like, you
stretched this,
yeah,
this elastic for so long. Little decades.
I see your Batman who laughs, and I'll raise you one Dark Knight Returns, in which the Joker does end up dead, and he doesn't And, like, freaking Batman doesn't just launch into a killing spree on all his remaining villains. He's still the Batman we know. He still hates guns, and he still doesn't kill people. Just saying.
So yeah, I know it's just saying, but that's, like, two sides of a coin. One side is like, okay, it's fine. And, like, he killed the Joker, and we move on. The other part is you get Batman who laughs. And that is a fucking terrifying prospect. Like, he can kill the Joker, and he would have to, like, come to terms with it. But what happens when he doesn't? Because he's not the best person at emotionally processing things.
Also, people love to just omit the teeny tiny, very important detail that Batman Who Laughs was infected by this irreversible, very powerful strain of Joker venom. So this isn't Batman in his regular state of mind. This is a dude whacked out on freaking drugs who is doing this crap. Yeah. Just saying.
But
so he does not hold water in this whole debate.
Batman cured himself.
No. No, he wouldn't. That's not how this shit works, man. When have you ever seen someone get hit with that Joker shit and be cured? They're stuck smiling forever. Like, they die smiling, man.
You die.
Joker wasn't trying to kill him. He was trying to make a hybrid of Batman and the Joker. That's what became of the Man Who Laughs. You know, like, the Batman Who Laughs, dude. Like, that's what he was. So people are using Batman Who Laughs as a, see, this is what would happen if Batman killed people. He would turn into this. No, he wouldn't. There's extenuating circumstances that led to this.
Died. That would have been. Or maybe his system was like, I don't know. He could have died. Do you know why he stopped being Batman in the Batman Beyond series?
Yeah, because he pulled a gun on somebody.
Yeah.
I get that.
That was one of his rules.
I don't mind that. I am actually all for that, because, and that is how he should react. Like, in that universe, he's been Batman for decades. He's been fighting crime to the point that his body is barely holding it together. And he has a heart attack as he's taking on some random crook. And, like, rather than, like, he knows, like, nah, man, I'm not gonna get taken out by some random thug on a random night. So he pulls dude's gun on him. We know he was never gonna shoot the guy. But, like, the mere fact that he pulled a gun on the guy terrified him so much, like, what the hell? Like, freaking Batman just pulled a gun on me? And he got out of there. The gun was a scare tactic. He had no intent of killing this dude. But the fact that he got so desperate that that was the only option is what caused him to quit. And I applaud that. That right there is good writing. It put him in a situation where that was the only option left, and he took it. What these fools on the internet are subscribing is that even if that wasn't the only option, he wouldn't take it. Because it doesn't go, it goes against his character. And Batman wouldn't do that. Like, fuck off, man. Grow up. Shit.
I didn't go far.
Okay, would somebody, I'm just saying, like, just eat for me. Like, please come. No fun. That's the part. Nobody would ever be like, oh, he killed you. It's just, no. In the Joker, have you seen what the Joker's done? Like, hello? It's one side of the other side of the coin is that now, okay. And everybody who you, that's the question. That's the question they. But. Buddy? Carry on, but if it's Batman technology and skills.
Alright, that's
scary.
That's different, man. The Punisher doesn't value his own life, much less those of others, man. His mission is not to protect the innocent. His mission is to punish the guilty. He's like the Ghost Rider without powers.
Yeah, he is.
And Batman is all about valuing human life, even the life of criminals. So, goes so far as to try to save people who would, if it was the other way, would let him perish. You know, like, they would just let him perish. Like, people who are actively trying to off him, he is trying to save. You know, like, just, I don't know. They could be in a perilous situation, like, falling to their death in a situation caused by them, and he will go out of his way to try and rescue them, like... That's just the guy who he is. So this idea that Batman, it's like Batman would never use a gun. He would never kill people. Oh no, he would never be in a situation where that would be an option. Like, no, that is ridiculous.
No, he would.
He would. No,
because like you said, like Batman Beyond, like the first episode literally proved that, that at a certain point, in a certain situation, that will happen.
Yeah.
So maybe along the line, kill somebody. But I feel he'd have the same respect he had in Batman.
Yeah.
Where he'd be like, you know what? Like, I can't anymore. Like, I've stood for.
Yeah.
Like, tightened up.
This thing that he's that, been,
that, yeah. That's more likely to happen.
Yeah, that absolutely is. Thing is, like, Zack Snyder gets flack because, like, Batfleck in BVS is like, he said that he's based Batfleck off like Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns, and he recalls this scene where Batman does pull a gun on a dude. It's like after the warehouse fight. He just finished decking his dudes in the warehouse. He busts through the wall, grabs a guy, and he points that guy's machine gun right at this dude. And he's pointing it at the dude with the flamethrower. You know, he's like, I'll kill her. I swear I'll do it. And he's like, I believe you. He shoots the flame canister, and he dives out the window with Martha, and the guy blows up. And people are, like, up in arms, like, Batman would never murder somebody. He would never use a gun. And, like, bruh, there is no other way. He wrote him into a situation with, like, there's no other way, man. You gotta do something with that gun. There's no time to, like, reach in and grab a batarang or whatever. That flame is gonna move faster than your body, but it's not gonna move faster than a speeding bullet. Plus,
yeah.
I don't think. Plus, it wasn't like he was trying to murder the dude. He shot at his canister and then dove out the window. What happened afterwards, like, you know, that was just circumstance. Like, Snyder even says, like, he tried to do it in a roundabout way where he's not technically murdering anybody. So, you know, people do end up dead, but he's not technically murdering people.
Oh, God, before the event, that's a lot of dead people.
Yeah.
They fucking, like, took a whole bunch of cars and that guys. And the whole back-branding thing, that's kind of bad,
okay? He didn't kill nobody there. That was just like, you know, that was the prisoners in jail doing that. Like, you can't really,
yeah, but,
you know.
You would happen the first time. You would not keep doing it. You keep doing it. That's the fucked up part. You're just like brand, like, executioners. Like, you're next.
I'm just questioning, like, where he keeps that thing. Like, somewhere in his, like, utility pouch, there's, like, a little box with, like, a red-hot poker that he stokes up, and he walks up to people all branded up and shit. Like, just, it's not at the end where he's like, wherever you go, no matter what you do, I will be watching you. And it's right there, and it's, like, still smoking, so it's, like, freshly fired up. Just, like, where are you keeping that, man? Like,
imagine he's like standing outside, he's like walking about, he's like, alright, it's 5 minutes, and then he thinks,
they're like, it's like a cigarette lighter, he just needs a few minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Okay, it's ready, we can go. We can
like,
go.
Yeah, so we took the lights. Alright, kill the lights, man. Like, That scene is tense if you don't think about it too much. Like,
yeah.
Like, but like that line where he's like threatening Lex, it's like, you know, he doesn't say something horrible is going to happen to you, but you know he's inferring that. He's basically telling him, I don't have to brand you because you're not going to jail. I'm just here to scare you. He's like, yeah, I know. You're not fit to stand trial, which is what... See, Lex thinks he's gotten one over on him. Like, oh, I'm insane. You know, I'm not fit to stand trial. I'm not going to go to jail. So you don't get to brand me. Like, ha, ha, ha. And he's like, you know, you're right. You aren't fit to stand trial. You're insane. Which is why I've had you transferred to Arkham. And then you see Lex Luthor's face be like, wait, what? That right there, man, that's a good scene.
I was joking.
Oh, shit, dude. That's a good scene right there. Because his whole face changes. This is like, which is why I had you transferred to Arkham. And his face just drops. Because he knows what that means. Like, oh, shit. Like, I'm going to be in a nut house with all these freaking loonies and shit. Like, oh, dude. Oh man, that was a good scene.
That would have been a series. If they made that into a series, I'd watch it.
That's just Arkham Asylum, dude. Think about it. That's just Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, it is. But Lex Luthor in there, that would be a ball.
That kind of there was one comic. One comic where something like that did happen. There was this like this white collar criminal, and he managed to trick a jury into thinking he was insane, unfit to stand trial. Thinking, hey, I'm going to go to some loony bin somewhere. I'm going to have it sweet because I don't have to go to jail. Oh, if only he knew, man. This shit happened in Gotham. He went to Arkham Asylum, and he got it rough. Dude, he got fucked up day one. Like he got beat to shit, and, like, something happened where, like, he got locked in the freezer. Like, someone locked him in the freezer, and he was there for, like, a long-ass time. By the time the orderlies found him, like, his nose had fallen off from frostbite, his, like, lips had fallen off, and all his hair was gone, and this was just, like, his villain origin story. He became, like, some dude calling himself, like, the Great White Shark or something, because he became a cannibal because he was locked in the fridge. He had to eat nothing but, like, frozen meat, so he developed a taste for it. Like, this is nasty. That's fucked up. That is messed up. That is, like... That could have been Lex, dude. That so easily could have been Lex.
Anyways. Yeah, I like to be... Anyways, man. I got like 2 minutes. I need to go.
Hey, you have a good day, man.
You too. It was good talking. We need to do this more often.
Yeah, sure. Just hit me up. I'm free most days.
Oh. Ha 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 ha